From Washington, I'm David Schultz, and this is Talking Tax. A recent Australian court ruling that went against Pepsi has to do with a lot more than just soda. Last year, an Australian judge ruled that the soft drink maker should have paid taxes on royalties in an international transaction it made between a bottler in the country and a Pepsi affiliate in Singapore. But even beyond that, for the first time, the judge also upheld an Australian law that hits companies with huge tax penalties if officials determine that they purposely diverted their profits to another country through a related party arrangement for tax reasons. This diverted profits tax doesn't apply to Pepsi itself, and the company is appealing this ruling. But it goes without saying that if it stands, this could totally reshape the way multinational companies do business down under. To learn how, we called up Angela Wood, a partner at the firm Clayton Utes in Melbourne. She spoke with Bloomberg Tax and Accounting reporter Michael Rappaport about why the Australian courts ruled the way they did and what this case was all about.
So the case does concern an agreement between Pepsi in the US and its Australian third-party bottler, Schweppes. The agreement specified that a royalty-free payment was to be made by Schweppes for the concentrate required to enable it to produce Pepsi in Australia. The agreement also granted a license to Schweppes to use Pepsi IP, including the recipe, the all-important recipe, and the trademarked labels. Pepsi US, under the agreement, could choose to nominate another entity as the supplier of the concentrate under the agreement, and it nominated Pepsi Australia, which was not a party to those bottling agreements. Schweppes then sold the finished products to wholesalers in Australia, and Schweppes paid Pepsi Australia for the concentrate. And so the litigation in the federal court here in Australia related to whether the payments were made and were subject to royalty withholding tax, or alternatively, whether they attracted the operation of Australia's diverted profits tax, the DPT.
And the court sided with the Australian Taxation Office, which said that there were embedded royalties in the transaction, that they were taxable in Australia. And it said that even if that was not the case, that they would have been subject to the diverted profits tax. And that's kind of part of the real significance of this ruling. I mean, what is the DPT, and why is it important, and why is this case significant as regards the DPT?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing about this matter and the DPT is that it does represent the first time an Australian court has considered the application of the DPT. So it's the first time we've seen a federal court judge say anything about its operation. So there's been a lot of interest generated in that regard. And the diverted profits tax in Australia, as the name suggests, it aims to prevent the diversion of profits through contrived arrangements. And the regime, broadly speaking, enables the Commissioner of Tax to impose a penalty rate of 40% on significant global entities for schemes carried out for a principal purpose of obtaining an Australian tax benefit, or both an Australian tax benefit and the reduction of a foreign tax liability. What happens in relation to DPT is that an assessment is issued up front, and a taxpayer must pay in full within 21 days. There's no scope for negotiating, you know, payment of half of the liability whilst the parties sort of argue the matter. They must pay in full within 21 days. So it can be a significant amount of money that needs to be outlaid at that point.
Yeah, this definitely sounds like a process that multinational companies would definitely want to avoid. I mean, what effect do you think this ruling, this blessing of the DPT is likely to have? Do you think it's going to give pause to multinational companies that do business in Australia, and will it cause them to be more cautious in trying to use this kind of cross-border transactions involving intangible assets?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the thing about the Pepsi case is the primary finding was that the transaction or a part of the payment attracted triggered withholding tax liability. The court didn't need to decide the DPT aspect, but did make some comments about it. And as I said before, it's sort of the first time we've seen anything on it. There's probably a couple of reasons that would give multinationals pause for thought in relation to this judgment. And one of which is the court's willingness to depart from the contractual terms and embark on an examination of the business and commercial context to determine whether payments expressed to be royalty-free might in fact, in whole or in part, trigger a withholding tax liability. The next part of that is there's no statutory limitation period for Australian withholding tax, and so there may be significant exposure going back for a long time for those that are caught in the crosshairs. I think the kicker in relation to this judgment is that even if a taxpayer successfully establishes there's no royalty withholding tax liability, a 40% penalty tax in the form of DPT may still await that taxpayer. And so, you know, in a lot of ways, Pepsi had the lesser of two evils in terms of outcome in relation to this matter. And I think for multinationals, the impact's probably twofold. You know, historic arrangements need to be reviewed in light of the court's approach to the Pepsi matter. And the more expansive review of the business and commercial context must be part of risk assessment, so well beyond the terms, express terms of any contract. And any new transactions under contemplation will also require close consideration. Just because particular transactions have been undertaken in a certain way for a very long time is not necessarily going to cut it, and it was certainly not influential in relation to the Pepsi decision.
When you look at what kinds of companies are likeliest to be affected by this, I would imagine that it's anyone for whom the use of IP is a big part of their business. So we're talking pharmaceutical companies that rely on patents, technology companies, consumer goods companies that rely on brands and trademarks. Are those the kind of companies you most expect to be affected by this some of this ruling?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the ATO's scrutiny of the embedded royalty issue is going to continue, and it's those sorts of IP-intensive industries that are going to be in the frame: life sciences, tech, retail, auto, energy and resources, financial services. They're all going to need to review their arrangements to see whether under the sort of new spotlight that's been shone on these arrangements, whether they're going to be caught up.
Now, as it happens, as you know, Coca-Cola has a similar case pending against the ATO that is also also hinges on the royalties. Does this ruling say anything about their chances there, or is it just too fact-specific a situation to be able to really tell?
Yeah, it's a bit difficult to try and determine the impact that the Pepsi outcome is going to have on the Coca-Cola proceedings. It is public knowledge that dispute is on foot. However, without the benefit of all of the facts and fit circumstances for that business, it's probably a bit foolish to speculate on the impact and on their prospects on that proceeding. But we'll all be watching with interest, of course.
Yeah. The ATO has taken tough stances on enforcement. You have this guidance. Parliament is considering a law that would further try to crack down on multinationals in some ways. Do you think Australia has been particularly tough on multinationals from a tax perspective?
I think, we assist a lot of multinational clients that are involved in quite detailed and sometimes very robust processes with the ATO. So there is a level of toughness in relation to, revenue investigations in Australia. I think the thing to remember is the ATO is an incredibly well-funded tax authority globally. The significant funding that it gets annually in relation to its tax avoidance task force has paid huge dividends for them, and they've recovered that funding many times over, sort of up to tenfold. The investment by the government in the ATO's programs is reaping benefits. And, you know, success in that regard means that we've got a revenue authority that is comfortable with its role, the role that it's playing, and doesn't shy away from wanting to examine and investigate and raise adjustments as required in relation to multinationals and what they might view as profit-shifting activities.
To the extent that Australia does seem to be out ahead of other countries in some respects in terms of going after multinationals, do you think other countries might follow? I know the UK already has its own diverted profits tax. Do you think other countries could do the same? Do you think they might get tougher in response to the kinds of things Australia is doing?
I think anecdotally we do hear that a lot of other jurisdictions do watch Australia to see what's happening in relation to these types of matters pertaining to multinationals. Having said that, you know, the UK's DPT has been in place for about 10 years, about the same as the as Australia's. And it's interesting because the UK is currently contemplating moving its DPT out from within its general anti-avoidance rule and placing it back in just with corporate tax rules in the UK. And that would mean that treaty benefits would be available, which is not the case in Australia. So in some respects, it looks like the UK might be sort of softening its approach slightly in relation to its DPT. More broadly, I mean, I think given that no other countries have introduced a DPT as yet after the, sort of the 10 years that the UK and Australia have had theirs, and also the progress in relation to Pillar 2 globally, it might be surprising, I think, if any other countries jumped on a DPT now.
PepsiCo had indicated a few weeks ago that it is going to appeal the ruling. What do you think the prospects are for its appeal?
That's a very good question, and if only I had a crystal ball. It's very hard to say. So there are two things to note about the appeal. Yes, Pepsi has appealed in relation to the finding that it was liable to withholding tax, and the Commissioner of Tax has also appealed to make sure that the DPT issue remains front and centre for the full court once the matter is heard. Because, as you know, Pepsi lost in relation to the primary argument, and the comments that are made in the judgment about DPT were, in effect, by the by. So in order to be successful on appeal, Pepsi is going to need to demonstrate errors of law and have three judges of the full court, be willing to displace key findings made by Justice Mashinsky at first instance. It's not always an easy task. However, strange things happen in tax cases, and it is possible that they may be successful. But really very difficult to say what the prospects are likely to be.
And I imagine that a lot of the multinationals that we alluded to earlier are probably going to be watching that appeal very closely to see how things might change that in ways that could affect them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And unfortunately, though, we're not going to have a decision probably on the full court appeal until at least the end of calendar year 24, if not early in 2025.
That was Angela Wood with the Australian firm Clayton Utz speaking with reporter Michael Rappaport. And that's it for today's podcast. You can find up-to-the-minute news and latest tax and accounting developments at our website, news.bloombergtax.com. That website, once again, is news.bloombergtax.com. Today's Talking Tax was produced by myself, David Schultz. Vandana Mather is our editor. From Washington, I'm David Schultz. Thanks for listening.
In a global tax landscape that changes by the day, it's what you don't know that can leave you exposed. At Bloomberg Tax, we provide market-leading intelligence and practical applications to help tax professionals work smarter, faster, and more accurately. Our solutions provide the insights you need for game-changing outcomes. To revolutionize your performance in real time, the difference is Bloomberg Tax. Learn more at pro.bloombergtax.com.